My name is Ahmed Sadiq. I am an academic and kind of cultural activist. As for your first question, that is the political situation immediately after the division of the country, I mean, split it up into two parts, that would definitely result in lots of things. Basically, I would say very negative impacts, meaning the whole history of the country and the memory of the country had already been disintegrated. And you can't possibly avoid having, you know, those very, very, very hard feelings. It really is very bad, I mean, psychologically speaking. Politically speaking, I think people would never again give up thinking of reuniting the whole country in a number of themes or perhaps in a number of aspects. The least perhaps people would continue this human communication. Again, we can't possibly avoid having this human communication. Come on, guys, we are human beings. Okay, and for quite a long time, people were in an immediate touch or communication. So in overnight, you just can't avoid that. Anyway, myself, that's what I feel. I mean, I feel so sad, very upset, very disappointed. Next, Yani, that's your question concerning Christians and Muslims living together in freedom in Sudan. I'm not quite sure if you are talking about some sort of tolerance, I mean, in terms of cult, beliefs, religion, etc. I think over a number of years, at a point even we had Jews around here, and nobody would bring up this issue of conflicts based on, you know, religion. Believe even we do have animists, people, I mean, you can't possibly tell if they have any sort of cult or belief or, you know, religion or totem, whatever. Which is very interesting, actually. Right at the beginning of the last century, a German scholar or anthropologist, whatever, I don't know, but he had this book about pagan tribes of Sudan. I think it goes back to 1926 or 1929. Interestingly, many of those animists, I mean, what you call pagan tribes of Sudan, you know, is still around, actually. Okay? And throughout centuries, we had that very interesting communication among people of different religious backgrounds. I mean, this moment of Christianity, when it was, you know, controlling and taking large area of the country, today's Sudan, you know, they had a great history. And the so-called, Christian Nubia, they had a great tradition in ours. And interestingly, it continued, actually, later in other kingdoms, you know, and civilizations, Sunni civilizations. Anyway, if we elaborate on that, perhaps we may never ever stop. Back again to your question, I don't see and I don't even anticipate problems have to do with conflicts, you know, have something to do with religion or different beliefs or different ideologies. I think there are quite a number, actually, of cultural centers in Sudan. And this has been going on for quite a long time again. And they have been actively involved in supporting whatever cultural works, whatever cultural activities, you know, ranging from visual arts to different genres of, you know, writing, literature, poetry, whatever kind of writing. Not only this, but tours around the country and perhaps abroad would be fairly so to speak, supported by these centers, European centers in particular. I think today it would be far better to talk about the so-called civil society organizations. As well, they are very active. Back during the time of the condominium, that is when the Anglo-Egyptian rule, both Egypt and Britain were ruling the country some time ago before we secured our independence. Actually, they did establish these links and this communication, which is going on up to date, actually. And not only this, but they further contributed to the recognition of the multiculturalism of the country. And this is, by the way, very much important. I mean, even if we are in some sort of disagreement, these were the colonial times, and these were the ugly colonizers, yet they did contribute a lot, I mean, at least to some sort of cohesive state or, you know, very well structured kind of cultural policies. Okay, so we can't again ignore, I mean, the sort of cultural centers, as you put it, around here in Sudan. Then this little bit complex kind of question, is the old culture and history mixture of Arabic and European influences, please describe shortly the historical background of the country, geographical Sudan near the River Nile, biggest in Africa. No longer it is the biggest country in Africa, unfortunately, after the split up of the two parts of the country. Is Nile important to Sudan and has the north part, blah, blah, blah. Again, that is kind of complicated because Sudan had great civilizations. And unlike many other parts of Africa, Sudan's culture is so unique in a number of aspects. A great tradition which was handed down to the other generations, okay, by our great-great-grandfathers or ancestors, if you like. And yes, there is this organic relationship between the history of the country and the culture of the country. Very, very organic kind of relationship. And definitely, you can immediately identify the role ever played by the Nile, the river, okay, and the so many manifestations of this Nile, one of the longest, actually, the second longest river in the world, not only in terms of hydropolitics, you know, and the basin itself and the ecological issues around the Nile. No, but also the sort of cultures, you know, were around for a number of centuries, actually. And yes, you would definitely immediately identify the role ever played by this great river, actually. Actually, the so-called ancient civilizations of Sudan were organically, again, linked or connected to the river. I mean, all sort of cultures, yani, more or less centered around the river. There is this legend which says once upon a time, long time ago, the river would take a rather different direction. So until today, there are a number of creeks around, small rivers, you know, Khairan, what's known in Sudanese Sweet. Arabic. Okay, no, stream is rather different, you know. The Khorab u Habil, you know, these seasonal kind of. Exactly. They said one of those days they were part and parcel of this great river, the River Nile. Anyway, we can again elaborate on that, but it seems like time is flying, okay? I will pick up one part of this question, which I believe, again, is very much important. Why just leave aside how young people live in Sudan, or perhaps if whatever that I would say about young people, you know, in Sudan. But the other bit, which I believe is very much important and essential, that is education. Again, I'm telling you that Sudan, unlike many other African countries and also the so-called Middle East, more or less we are part of the Middle East. The least we are Arabic speakers, you know, Arabic speaking country. Okay, education was, you know, unique, meaning it goes back to more than 500 or 600 years, by the way, unlike many other countries. We have to stress this one. And again, immediately after many African and Middle Eastern countries secured their independence, you know, one big issue around was education, 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 education. We wanted to educate our children for better future. Again, we really had very great history of education in Sudan. However, there is this, again, very, very close relationship between education and politics. Myself, I would hardly ever separate education from ideology and from politics, meaning every time a new rule introduced, they would immediately radically change the system of education, policies of education, and that would result negatively in, you know, whatever kind of progress, development, perhaps we can introduce, you know, to develop education in Sudan. But still, however, people show great interest in developing the system of education that we are having right now. There are problems, of course, very, very serious ones. I mean, there's been many signs that would reflect deterioration occurred already to education in Sudan. But let us hope with some support of, you know, regional organizations, perhaps UNICEF, UNESCO, whatever, sometime later we see some developments in education. This is very much important, by the way. It goes back to the issue of the identity of the country, the identity of the people of the country, you know, and even introducing both modernity and modernization. Okay, this is definitely has got a lot to do with education. I'm not sure if you have enough time for your last question. Okay, yani, more or less it has to do with the media, and if ever they target young people, certain special programs for young people in the country, projects created by young people. I never show any worry about young people in Sudan. I mean, not necessarily linking this up to the issue of sort of programs around. Yeah, you know, this media, especially radio and TV in Sudan, again, they have that long, great history in enlightening the people, you know, in contributing to the development of the community. You see what I mean? I mean, some time ago, this Radio Onderman, which is one of the, you know, best national radio services, you know, corporation, whatever, actually having or the role of a popular university college. You see what I mean? Meaning it played a role, actually, in enlightening the people, the members of the community or the society. Yeah, there are lots and lots of programs targeting potentially young guys, you know, young people, again, in number of things. I mean, technology, sports, science and technology, sports, music. Medicine, music, definitely. And above all this, in raising awareness among young people, whatever that have to do with the tradition, cultural tradition in particular. I mean, Sudanese traditional music, you know, great men in history of Sudan, etc., etc. I'm not sure if you were satisfied or happy with those. Obviously, yani, you had, guys, many questions. I mean, singling out one single question in itself would take time to respond to. Thank you very much. Ahmed Sadiq, I am academic and a cultural activist.